Okay. Interview with one Simon, known as The Rock, speaking to the microphone for the record, at the headquarters of the Jerusalem garrison, 6 p.m. on the day of Pentecost, in the seventh year of the prefecture of Pontius Pilate. You are Simon, known as The Rock.
Yes.
Why The Rock? Are you a wrestler or something?
It's a long story. Jesus called me that.
Are you from Galilee?
Correct.
Occupation?
Fisherman. Well, ex-fisherman. But put fisher of men?
What do you mean, fisher of men? You sailors are all the same.
Let's get on with it, shall we? I'll just put fisherman.
Aren't you one of those followers of that crazy preacher, Jesus of Nazareth? The one we crucified for calling himself King of the Jews?
Yes.
Because we heard that you were denying it. 3 times, in fact.
Well, yes, that's true. I did deny it. I was frightened and confused.
But you're not denying it now?
No.
Because you're not frightened and you're not confused anymore?
No.
Doesn't sound much like a rock to me.
Okay, so where is his body then? Because we've had a report that it's been stolen.
It's not been stolen. He rose from the dead.
Rose from the dead?
Yes, we have all seen him since he was crucified. He is not dead.
So you're saying that he's still alive and we, the Roman army, botched the job?
No, he was dead, but now he's alive, as much as he ever was. In fact, even more so, he seems to be everywhere. We have seen him eat, share bread and wine with him.
Quite a lot of wine by the sound of it.
Yes, we'll get to that in a minute. You see, sir, we've had a few complaints about disturbances in the city this morning. I should explain, you're not under arrest or anything like that.
Not yet.
We just want to check up on what's going on. We've had some important foreign visitors in here, good God-fearing people, Parthians, who else?
It's quite a list. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts, Sir, Cretans and Arabs, sir.
Thank you. I've never seen so many foreign visitors in the city. It's like the Olympics are being held here in Jerusalem, not in Britannia.
Today of all days, it's brilliant timing, isn't it?
Is it? Annoying, I call it. Anyway, they seem a little bit confused and...
upset.
Perplexed.
Upset.
Stunned, excited, amazed, challenged, thrilled, to quote.
Upset.
Well, yes, some of them were upset, but not all, it seems. Anyway, we've had reports of a loud noise.
Like the rushing of a mighty wind.
And flames.
Coming out of people's heads.
And you speaking in foreign languages.
How exactly do you know Parthian?
I don't, or at least I didn't. That must be the work of the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit. Yeah, we'll come into that. First of all, do you want to tell us about this wind and the flames and everything?
Well, it all started before our teacher, Jesus, was crucified. He said this would happen, that he would send the Holy Spirit to help us when he was gone.
Yeah, right. Holy Spirit, methylated spirits more like.
We're coming to that. So, he's gone now, this Jesus?
Yes, sort of.
Dead again?
No, not dead. Here, but not here.
Now I'm confused.
You're right. He's drunk.
No, not at all. I'm just filled with the Holy Spirit.
Exactly.
No, it was only 9 o'clock in the morning that it came. I hadn't touched a drop.
You're a sad case. Off your trolley by breakfast and can't admit it. Classic case of denial. Repeat after me. My name is Simon Peter and I'm an alcoholic.
As I was saying, this morning, it's as we were told in the scriptures in the writing of the prophet Joel. Have you got a Bible? It's Joel 28:2-32. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all your people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams.
Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before coming to the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
So you're saying that these are the last days, the end of time?
Well, they may be. Well, be. Strange things are happening. They may well be your last days. The Roman Empire won't last forever, you know.
No, I wouldn't bet on that. I think the Roman Empire will last a lot longer than your Jesus cult.
So what do we need to do to be saved?
Repent and be baptised, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Oh yeah, more of this Holy Spirit.
Well, it is there in the Jewish Bible, foretold.
You don't believe this nonsense, do you?
I don't know. There's something about this guy. Do you know, he baptised 3,000 people today.
Oh, I'm off. You're wasting your time with this nutter. Good luck to you.
I'm interested in this dead but not dead Jesus character. Are you saying he's come back from Hades as some sort of spirit, like a ghost? Tell me more about him.
Do you know what it's like to feel truly loved? Utterly known, completely understood and still loved?
No, but I think I'd like to.
Have you got any bread and wine? There's something I need to show you.
Come with me.
Thank you for that. So in 7 days' time, we will be celebrating in this church Pentecost Sunday, which is the day that sketch was talking about, the day when the Holy Spirit came, when people started speaking in strange languages, when there were tongues of fire in the air. There were all sorts of strange things that happened, but it was a sign that God had returned to be with his people by his Holy Spirit. He couldn't be with us physically any longer because Jesus had ascended to heaven, but he sent his Holy Spirit to be with us. We're going to think a little bit more about that in a few minutes' time. So, who thinks they know what this might be? Anybody got an idea? A net to catch flies. Very close, actually. It looks a bit like a tennis racket, doesn't it? You should see my wife when she's in full flight with this machine. If there's a wasp in our house, this comes out very, very quickly. Because it's a zapper. You press the button and the wasp, if it hits that, just drops dead on the floor. Similar with flies. She's very, very good with it. She can swish it like she can, or actually better than she can a tennis racket, because she's not very good at tennis. But it's a swisher. Now, I've brought some things with me, and we're going to look at each one of these, which are just going to help unpack certain aspects of the Holy Spirit, because that's what I said we're going to talk about. That bit of God that is at work in us today. And I brought this because flies and wasps and whatever are not very nice. They're bad things. They can sting you. They can give you diseases. You want to get rid of them. And sometimes we need to get rid of some bad stuff in our lives. And the Holy Spirit comes to help clean us out and get rid of some of that bad stuff. You can all see what this is, yeah? It's a light, yeah. I can shine it in your eyes. If it's dark, it's not a very shiny light, but then it's because it's quite light in here anyway. But if it was dark, this light would show me the way. It would help me. So if I go out into my garden in the middle of winter and there's absolutely no light because there's no stars or no moon or whatever, you can use this. And you can see where you're going. And again, I brought that because it reminds me that the Holy Spirit wants to bring light into our lives, wants to overcome the darkness, and it wants to bring good things into our lives. Light is positive, light is good, and the Spirit brings light. Now, what other gadgets have I got? I've got this. Now, most of you will have seen one of these many, many times by now. It's a mobile phone, isn't it? What can you do with a mobile phone? It's probably an easier question to ask what you can't do with a mobile phone these days, but what can you do with a mobile phone, Joseph? You can play games, absolutely. Who thought we'd be playing games on a phone? But you can play games on a mobile phone. You can send messages. That's a really good one. Think about that in the context of God and the Holy Spirit as well. What else could it do?
You can
learn lots of stuff, can't you? Because you've got access to the World Wide Web and all that information. Yeah, indeed. Anything else? You tell me.
You can go on
Facebook, absolutely. Yeah, you can be in touch with people all the time. You can never escape if you're on a mobile phone. You've got so much. The Holy Spirit comes to communicate God's plans and purposes for us. A mobile phone, originally, a phone was just a simple communication device. It was just there so that you could speak to somebody on the other end. Now you can send messages, you can learn lots of other stuff. And in a sense, that is what God wants to do when he puts his Spirit to work in our lives. He wants us to be able to communicate with him, listen to what he says, and he gives us the equipment to be able to put that into practice. So he wants to talk to us, and that's really, really exciting, I think. Hopefully you think that's exciting too. Now, the last two gadgets I've got do the same thing, but I brought two just to sort of help to highlight the effect. I've used this before. I think I used it at Messy Church before, so some of you might have seen this illustration, but I like it, so it's worth repeating. I think that's a pretty ordinary looking jam jar. It's got a bit of colour on the outside, but it's not very exciting, is it? I don't think it is. It looks pretty plain and dull and boring. And if I do that, it becomes a lot more interesting because you can see little bits of sparkly light inside of it. And if I do this to this, it does the same thing. It lifts it because there's something at work inside that brings it to life. Can you all see these at the back? See the way that they are just that bit lighter, bit brighter. Everything's a little bit more exciting. Everything's a bit more lifted. It transforms from within. And that, again, is exactly what the Holy Spirit wants to do in all of our lives. The Holy Spirit wants to transform us and to change us inside so that we become completely different people. And that's really, really exciting. And it's something which is freely on offer to absolutely everybody that's here today. Doesn't matter what age you are, that transformation that the Holy Spirit promises is available to you. We've already heard about Derby County winning a football match, which was a bit of a shock on Friday. No, says Glenn. Well, I think it was a shock. Derby used to have a player some years ago called Darren Moore. Those of you who are very keen footballers will know that he's at the moment the temporary manager at West Bromwich Albion. They appointed him for the last four or five games of the season when they were virtually guaranteed to be relegated from the Premier League. And they have been relegated, but actually the team have played really well under him and done better this season than they had at any other point. Darren Moore is a Christian. And I just want to read something from the book which I was given at Christmas by one of my daughters, which is called Cross the Line. And it just says something about footballers who have become Christians. And this is what Darren Moore wrote to the answer of a question: how did you become a Christian? He said, it was back in 1999 when I was at Bradford City. I remember we were coming back from Doncaster that day. I was travelling with a teammate who's a dear friend of mine to this very day, Wayne Jacobs. We used to share in the car together. I remember one day he was sharing to me about God. And I said to him, I don't think you can serve God and be a professional footballer at the same time. How wrong I was. That was his cue card. It was his opportunity to share his faith. And he shared a Bible verse from his word for today, which said this. On this one day, the verse said, the Lord said, he does not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and a sound mind. At the time when I got this verse, I was at Bradford and I was having a very difficult time. I wasn't very confident and I was worried about my ability, that I wouldn't be able to make the step up between League One and League Two, or the other way around. But when I shared that with Wayne, he said, I really believe this verse is for you, Darren. God knows your heart. From that moment, it just went on from there. We had Christians in Sport meetings where we'd share about the Bible together. Before this encounter, I was scared to play. But from that moment on, I used to look forward to matches. I was playing some of my best football. There was one game against Bolton Wanderers when we were bottom of the league and they were up the top. We ended up, they were 2-0 up and we ended up drawing the game 2-2 and I was voted man of the match. From that point on, for the next 30 games, we ended up from in the relegation places to getting promotion at the end of the season. And then I was voted PFA Divisional, in the PFA Divisional 11. That's the Professional Footballers Association. They vote for who they think the best players are in each division of the league. And Darren won it that year for his position. It's one of the biggest professional accolades in the game. And he finishes off by saying this, I put it all down to God being able to share with other Christian guys. And that's when I committed my life to Christ. You know, I said that the Spirit comes to transform, and it can transform any life. And I pray for everybody here this morning that they will experience something of that change that the Spirit wants to bring into your life today and in the days that lie ahead.